Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Grow connects you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights and weekends. There are no subscriptions, no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/try now today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/try now. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Tiara.
Hello, this is Allie.
And this is the Goddess Vibration. Well, welcome back to another episode, you guys. We are excited. Well, we're excited about most of our episodes, but we're super excited when we have a guest on our episode recordings. And you guys are so lucky because we have another guest today. And she is going to be talking about something that we really haven't touched upon. I mean, we've had this podcast for almost a year and a half, and we have never touched upon this topic, and I think you guys are going to really be in for a treat with this one, because she's an expert in this arena, and she's doing some very interesting things. Her name is Elise Hadi, and she is a light worker and has actually been guiding light leaders, healers, and starseeds in their awakening journey since 2016, and her whole focus is on helping people to remember their calling, but also helping people to activate their gifts and fulfill their highest vision. So thank you, Elise, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Tiara and Ali. Such a joy to be here and sharing something that's so close to my heart.
Yes, and that something is light language, which, you know, me and Allie, we've kind of heard about light language, but we haven't really like dove into the topic, not on this podcast, but I know for me personally, I haven't really done a lot of research behind light language. So, you know, we're really, really excited to pick your brain, Elise, because this seems to be your arena.
Mm-hmm. I was actually doing some research on light language, and I didn't realize that light language is something that a lot of people can learn. I don't know how easy or hard it is to learn, but I was reading that it is learnable. So I was wondering, Elise, if you could enlighten us with learning and how you got into this and what the process is all about.
That's a really important point that you made there, because I always share this with my students that you are not here to learn light language. You are here to remember the light language that is already within you. It is more of a soul remembrance process. And to some degree, yes, you can learn light language in the sense that there are processes that can, you know, like help you to activate them, to help you go through the awakening journey, so to speak. However, it's not something you need to learn outside of you, then it is something that is inside of you. And how I got into this is really interesting. So back in 2016, I actually went to a writing workshop, and then I was like the only one, which was weird, but not so weird now that I think about it. So I was the only one in the writing workshop. So it turned out to be like this one-on-one session with my spiritual mentor. And halfway through the writing, she was like, oh, I think your light language is coming out. Well, she called it sacred language, but she said something along that line. And I was like, nope, I don't think so. Because at the time, I just came out of corporate. And although I knew about light language because I have heard people talk about it, but I actually haven't been onto any session myself. So for her to tell me that, it was like, nope, not happening. And then I heard a voice inside of me that says, trust and surrender. And pretty reluctantly, I told her, okay, you know, if it is coming out, then we will see what comes out. And so she went through this activation process where she really helped me to activate it. And I think within maybe less than 10 minutes, I started speaking. It was crazy in the sense that I didn't expect that could happen so easily, I guess you could say. Now, having said that, I've been on the journey for a long time. So it's not like I was new to the energy work at the time. So I think that kind of make it easier in a way. But I don't really want to, you know, like label easy or difficult, because everyone is in their own pace, is in their own journey. So yeah, it's definitely learnable. And that is how I kind of activated mine. And so ever since that first activation, I started speaking, and then I started to practice it and then share it more and more with the role. And then eventually, you know, leading it up to the moment now where I'm actually going on podcast to share about it and also helping my students to activate their light language.
That is such a beautiful and fascinating concept and story. I didn't realize that. I mean, it makes sense. Now that I've listened to the process of it, it makes sense that it is inside of all of us. But how do we access that or tap into that? It sounds like because you are already familiar with energy work that it came more natural to you. So how would it be for someone who isn't work with energy as much, like who isn't as familiar?
As a start, I would say that what will really help is to clear your energy channel. At the end of the day, I love to say that light language is essentially channeling, depending on how you define that term. So I call it channeling light language because we are simply allowing ourselves to be the vessel, the conduit, and the vehicle for light to come through. And hence the name light language, right? Like it is allowing the divine light and the divine love to be expressed through us in whatever shape, way, or form that you want to come through. Because light language can be written, it can be spoken, it can also be done through hand gestures or movement. So in order to be that vehicle so that you can channel, it is really important that we have a clear energy channel. It's like if you have a pipe that is blocked, you know, the water cannot flow through it. So you got to start by unclogging the pipe and unblocking it so that the water can flow through it. So same thing. So this vehicle, you know, we want to clear our energy channel. And there are so many ways to do that. You can use light language to do that, or you can use other modality that you already have. You know, like something like chakra clearing will really help to just clear your energy field, or just any kind of clearing energy modality that you are comfortable and familiar with as a start. That will really help to prepare the groundwork, really, for those who are relatively new to the energy work. That is what I usually do first and foremost with my students, so that when we have a strong foundation, the channeling will naturally come easier. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. For Tiara and I are actually both channelers, but maybe her and I have been channeling light language. What do you think, Tiara?
You know, it makes sense, right? Like it makes sense that the language is, it's being channeled. And I can't like sit here and say that I have ever heard light language or like channeled it myself, but that doesn't mean that we haven't been doing it. Like, I'm sure maybe we have been and just like didn't know.
That's what I think is going on.
You know, and the interesting thing about channeling, this is something I've just kind of been reflecting on. Sometimes I do it when I'm high. Essentially, what's going on is you're taking a vibration and you're turning it into something you can understand. And so it wouldn't surprise me if at some point, you know, me and Allie have hosted like joint channeling sessions. If at some point that's probably what we were doing, we were probably channeling light language and just didn't realize that's what it was, or just like, you know, maybe didn't quite know how to express it. I did see something really, really interesting on social media around language and vibration, which basically just stated that, you know, light language is probably the language that has the highest frequency, like that we know of, versus apparently the English language, which has the lowest frequency. And I just,
yeah, I
thought
you
that was
TikTok.
Did you send me that? Okay, yeah. I just thought that was so fascinating because, you know, we don't think about how everything is frequency and vibration. And even language, written, spoken, thought is the same thing. And so I just thought that was so fascinating.
Wow, that's really interesting that you mentioned that TikTok, that I didn't expect English to be the lowest. I mean, that's like the number one language everyone uses, right? So...
Right.
Yeah,
But the way that the English language has been manipulated, and the way that we speak it and how we actually use terms matters. And that's why they're saying that English is the lowest, because we have dumbed down language to just this minuscule thing where it's like we are actually, our words, the way that we use the language, we are not allowing abundance into our life. We are not allowing manifestation into our life, which is why it's being taught in the spiritual community to change your thought process, change your behavior patterns, change the way that we talk, like use higher vibrational words. And if people don't know that, then people have absolutely no idea like what they're actually attracting into their life. And that's why like looking into these languages is just so fascinating.
It is.
And how we use these languages.
That makes so much sense, Allie and Tiara, especially because it reminded me of the concept of paradox, right? Or contrast, because in light language, so let's say, you know, in English, we have what we call fear versus love, right? So there are certain words that, as you were sharing, that were kind of lowering our frequency, while when we are channeling light language, we are channeling the purest, most organic form of energy. So we are not channeling fear. It's like it doesn't even exist in the vocabulary. That kind of, I guess, makes sense to whatever you are saying. And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you guys have been channeling light language without knowing, because it's just a term or a label we put, right? So you might be doing it without knowing what the name is, but it actually is, because I actually have a student of mine that told me that she has been doing hand light language with her hand movement her whole life without knowing it, until someone was like, oh my God, you are doing light language. And she's like, what is it? So yeah, it's totally possible, especially if you are already a channeler and you are channeling light, because light language essentially is just like that purest energy before we translate it into physical words, which is why it's so powerful, because it bypasses the mind. As opposed to if we use this language like English, then, you know, the mind comes in, it tries to make a logic out of it and analyzes it and so on and so forth. And not to mention the connotation that we already have with certain words that already put a lot of meaning to it that can be empowering or disempowering, which again doesn't exist in light language in the purest form. So it's an amazing point you guys brought up, and I really love that you bring it up this way.
So Elise, I understand that there are different, like, well, maybe you mentioned this already, the different types of light language. So when you said types, were you talking about writing it versus speaking it versus the hand language? Or does it get deeper than that? Oh, okay. Now, do those... I've seen people do like videos where they're recording themselves doing the hand signs. And I've also seen videos of people who have done the writing. And it's... I try to make sense of it. My mind wants to make sense of things. And so when I see these things, I'm like, well, what does that mean? Like, is there a translation? So Heidi, can you tell me, when it comes to like the written form of it, is there meaning behind it, or is it just an energy that you pick up upon?
It depends on the channeler, but for the most part, as I was sharing earlier, the beauty of light language is how it is the purest form before it got translated by the mind. So trying to translate it kind of defeat the whole purpose of it.
Yeah.
Having said that, you can translate it, not necessarily word per word, so to speak. And as a channeler, you probably know that it is more of like the flavor of the energy or the essence that you pick up, whether it doesn't matter if you write it, you draw it, sing it, chant it, whatever way you want to express it, you will get a sense of maybe like a theme or a feeling of what this is about. And so maybe you also get a sense of the message that comes along with it. Or maybe not, you know, some days it is just pure channeling. You feel the energy, that's about it. Some days you channel light language with a specific intention that you want to channel. Or after you finish channeling, you get a clear message that you want to share with it. So it really depends on how the channeler wants to use it.
So then, what are some of the benefits of using light language? Like, I know that oftentimes we can feel it. I know that for the most part, it's a very high energy, a very high frequency. But what type of benefits come from that when someone is, for example, doing something like that every day?
Mm-hmm. So the healing ability of light language is amazing, and it works both whether you are someone who is on the receiving end or whether you are someone who is on the channeling end. Although for me, my most potent transformation, so to speak, comes when I start channeling. And actually, I started my journey with channeling first, which is a little bit unusual, I guess. But in general, whether you are on the receiving or channeling end, you know, it is just limitless, I would say. You know, yeah, it has the ability to clear energetic blockages, release stagnant emotions, balance the energy centers. It even, you know, activate our dormant DNA codes and awaken our gift, help us to remember. A lot of the times, it is a soul remembrance journey. So a lot of my students, they will come back and tell me things like, oh my God, I remember where I come from, and I remember why I come here and what I'm meant to be sharing with the world and things like that. It's just so beautiful to witness that remembrance journey. And it really can be anything that you can think of in the spiritual world. You know, it is there because it is just working with vibration at the end.
I love how you actually brought that up, because I wanted to ask you about that. When it comes to DNA activation, is that a crucial piece to someone's spiritual awakening and their spiritual gifts?
I would say yes, but not necessary. Meaning, again, you might be, it is already being awakened and it's already being activated. It's more like being conscious of it. So it's not like if you do not do a DNA activation, oh my God, then like you're on the wrong path and you're not going to get any benefit. It's not so much about that. Then the DNA codes are already being awakened as the earth is awakening. However, it's more of just kind of being more conscious about the awareness of it. And when you are more aware, then you can put it into more realistic practice in the physical world, because at the end of the day, we are in a human body and we want to know what this can be done in the human life. And the reason why then is important is more of like knowing that if you activate your DNA code and then you remember your gift or whatever else you are awakened to, then how can you then consciously put it into practice in your human lifetime? So I hope that answers your question.
It absolutely does. I have worked with people who come to me and always ask me about spiritual gifts, because Tiara and I have said everyone has them. And so people will listen to our podcast and approach me and say, what spiritual gifts do I have? I didn't know. I never knew that I even had spiritual gifts. And so I feel like I think the awakening process is really important, because that's really where it starts. And that's really when we can start remembering things. And then, like you said, there is also a very important aspect of being self-aware. And I think the more that people become self-aware, that's really when things really start to develop and the magic starts to happen.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Now, Elise, did I hear you say earlier that your spiritual journey started with channeling?
Specifically for light language, not my spiritual journey, so to speak. Like, I didn't receive any light language transmission. I've never been to any light language stuff at all. And then I started channeling light language. And my first channeling experience is also with light language, which is bizarre, honestly. Like, because I think I was like just starting to meditate at the time. I wasn't into any other modality at all. So it was something that was out of the world for me at the time, at least.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. So I'm intrigued by that, because, you know, mine started with my journey started with a sudden awakening. Mm-hmm. And I sort of kind of gradually started to realize that I could channel beings and like hear them. And so I'm kind of curious, like, when that started for you, was it just like you could hear the light language, or was it just a feeling?
It was more like water flowing through, energy flowing through, like something was really, it's almost like something was stuck in my throat and that it wanted to come out. You know, like the feeling like you have something you want to say and you'll be holding on, and then you just have to say it. If you don't say it, it's going to kill you, that kind of feeling. It's something like that, except that when I speak it, what comes out is in English.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah.
I feel like that's really similar. I was just going to say, I feel that's also really similar to Tiara and I. Like, I think we are channeling light language. I just think it comes out in English.
You know, yeah, I'm wondering if that's what it is. If we just hear it and then it's just, our mind just translates it into a language right away.
Is that possible, Elise?
Light language is that one step before you translate it. So it might be possible that, you know, you receive. Okay, let me put it this way. So everyone is channeling to some degree, right? So it depends on how you want to express it. So you receive something from source and you decide to translate it into English, or you can express it in its pure form before it got translated. So light language is that in-between state, if that makes sense, before it gets translated. So if you are speaking English, then you are speaking English, if you know what I mean. However, it is a channeled, translated version of divine message, if that makes sense. But light language is not English, just to clarify that.
Yeah.
For those who are listening, at least. I just want to add on to something as well that you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
It's possible, though, that you might see it in your mind.
What?
And then you draw it out or say it out. That is also possible.
You know, that's really interesting that you say that, because I see symbols and I have no idea what it means. And I have seen symbols in dreams. I see them in my meditations, not all the time, but sometimes. And I'm just like, I don't understand what's happening. So do you believe that that's light language?
Yeah, I mean, as long as it comes from light, then it is light language. The name is pretty literal in that sense. So yes, it can be light language. Actually, sacred geometry is part of light language. That is something what a lot of people don't realize. So sacred geometry also doesn't only mean flower of life and Metatron cube and things like that. For those who are new to it, you know, like a circle is a sacred geometry, as long as you know, like a triangle is a sacred geometry. And there are ways that we can use that for those who are familiar with how to use that. But in general, like for me, when I channel light language through words, I still see symbols, although I might not necessarily draw them, but I usually see them in my mind, which is why I want to point that out, that it's possible that you might see it, you might hear it, you know, all of your senses, or you might move it in your body without necessarily expressing it. So my invitation for all of you who are channeling or who are listening, curious to know, is that maybe the next time you see it, why not try writing it or drawing it? Or the next time you hear it, maybe start speaking it. Who knows what will come out, just for fun, you know?
Can you give us an example of what it sounds like?
Actually, I have prepared abundance activation light language. So I think it will be cool for those who are listening to get on that, because that is like a full on like 15 to 20 minutes track, and it will be a great way to really sit on it and listen to it, because I would rather that someone listen to it as though they are on a meditative state. That way they get a full benefit of it, rather than listening to it and then, like, you know, they're just gonna analyze it again.
Of course. Yeah. And for those of you who are listening, I'll make sure all the information is put in the show notes. But Elise, I want to ask you, because, you know, I've seen a lot of people who claim to be channeling light language and they just kind of post it openly. How do you know if someone is really actually truly channeling light language, or if it's just something else, or maybe it's just like, I don't know, a misinterpretation of something else, as an example? Like, how do you know that this person's authentically channeling?
You will know it based on your intuition, because your intuition is your greatest teacher. Usually when you look at the messages that is being spoken or being shared, and, you know, like whether they write it in your captions or something like that, or just generally more of the vibe and the vibrate and the energy. And it doesn't apply to channeling light language only. It applies to everything. You know, when you are looking for coaches or healer or any spiritual teacher to work with, it starts with whether you resonate to begin with, because it doesn't matter what anybody else say. If you don't resonate, then nothing that person say will land on you. Right? So you must first resonate with a person, and then you feel into the energy as to whether you feel safe, whether you feel comfortable, and whether you feel that it is coming from love. Because at the end, you know, anything that doesn't come from love, you will know it at one point or another. So trust your intuition and your gut feeling on that one.
So Elise, you do something else that's really cool. You interact with elementals, and even mentioned prior that you have also done so with dragons. Can you share a little bit about that and those experiences you've had?
Yeah. It actually, the dragon came to me around the same time the light language came to me, which was interesting. So at the point, I actually didn't think about it as light language that much as I think about it as, oh, it's my way of talking to my dragon. So the dragon came to me in 2016. I worked with them very closely at the time, and I used light language to communicate with them and to just connect with your energy in that way. So a lot of the time when I was doing light language and working with the dragon, at the beginning of my journey at the time, I was working a lot with emotional clearing. So it's really great because the dragon is really amazing when it comes to clearing and healing on deep level. So I was working through a lot of the anger and frustration specifically at the time. And it was so powerful that if I was angry over something and then without bypassing it, you know, like just acknowledging it and feeling it, and the moment I decide to release it, I'll just like channel light language for maybe less than 5 minutes, and then I will feel my entire energy shifted. So it was really, really efficient for me the way I see it, which is why I really love working with light language, because of how fast things get. And that's it. I also want to say that, you know, like fast is relative. So don't be obsessed with being in a rush in that sense. But then at the same time, it is indeed also like on human term, a really efficient journey, if that makes sense. And yeah, so that's how I started working with the dragon and the light language kind of concurrently, which is an interesting pairing. So ever since I started channeling light language, I started to work with the dragon and the angels and the elementals, and then slowly more of the light being just come true over the years. So then I started working with the ascended masters as well as the star mothers, and literally just 2 nights ago, the yellow and black rose frequency came to me. And so right now I'm like luxuriating in that energy of the yellow rose frequency for now. So that's kind of like the different phases of awakening as to how the different guides come in at different time. And then we get to choose who we want to work on a deeper level.
That's so fascinating that you say that we get to choose, because I haven't exactly felt that way with my guides, if I'm being honest. Just, you know, throw that out there.
Well, you get to choose after you listen.
Well said.
No, because I know what you mean. That experience in most of us, like, the dragon chose me, not so much that I chose them, but then the dragon is always with me, but it doesn't mean that every single transmission has to be about the dragon, if that makes sense, because it depends on what the client need and what the occasion calls for whatever reason it is. At the end, we have our team, right? So at this point, I know that the dragon is in my team, so is the Star Mother and so many other guys. And they are always there, they are always here, and they are always now, they are always present. It's more of which one we are going to put more focus on in terms of putting it into human words, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. Sorry, Tiara, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to ask real quick about dragon guides. I have noticed that more and more people are discovering that they have dragon guides, and I feel like it's a newer concept. Like, I'm sure it's been around forever, but I feel like people are awakening to dragon guides. And I mean, people who are obsessed with dragons, I mean, it's just so fascinating, these mythical and powerful, mystical beings. And so can you just enlighten us a little bit about really what they do for us? Because like I remember you saying like it helped you like get through like that anger part, and that's not the first I've heard that, where dragons really help like balance the anger and help you purge that anger, which I find so fascinating.
That is,
yeah, it's just the energy of the dragon, at least dragon that I work with, because there are, I'm sure, like so many dragons, many types that everyone have access to and will experience dragon differently. Because at the end of the day, whether it is dragon, angels, ascended masters, whatever name we want to call it, it is just energy. And it is being translated to the degree that we resonate with. So sometimes, to me, it is not so important as to know specifically what is what than the feeling and the energy it brings. That said, you know, specifically with the dragon, from my personal experience, yeah, they work really well with energy or the clearing and the purging and the healing. And they are also a great protector. They are known to be here to protect the dimension, the realm, not dimension, like the realm and the earthly realm, especially. And they are also kind of more closely related to the earthly world. So it is that nice bridge between the spiritual and the material world, so to speak, and it's a very nice transition for people who are just starting on the journey. That's what I find. And also because the fact that dragon has been around, even though it might be like a myth in children's story, right? But the fact that someone has heard about it before, it just kind of like release the resistance. It's kind of more like, oh, you mean they are real? But it's not a question about whether it is even there versus something else that somebody has never ever heard before, then it might sound more foreign and less familiar to them. And so there will be more resistance to working with those guys. Again, it's up to individual, but yeah, that will be what I would say about this topic, I guess.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. That was very enlightening for me. I have always loved dragons, and I've just been completely fascinated by them. So when I started looking into dragon guides, because there's some information, not a lot, I love to keep digging. And so I wanted to pick your brain because I knew this was something that was very relevant in your life.
Yeah. Thank you for asking that too. It's something that is it's really interesting that you picked that up, because I actually don't know where you picked that up. I didn't mention dragon at all anywhere.
Oh, interesting.
So it must be your guide telling you. Yeah, as I say, I work with so many guys, so I'm not putting everything on social, right? So I don't have a specific page on dragon, if you know what I mean. So I actually don't know where Ali picked it up, but then if she picked it up, then I'm meant to share it.
Yeah. It must have been intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
So Elise, you also mentioned interacting with elementals. When I started my channeling, I went to a channeling course, and the instructors had indicated the different energies that you can communicate to and with. And one of those was the elementals. And I never fully grasped or understood what exactly that means. So I was wondering if you can clarify a little bit about what it means to interact and communicate with the elementals.
There are a few ways people use the word elemental. So it depends on what you mean by elemental. Some people, when they say elemental, they literally mean the earth, air, fire, and water. And some people refer elemental as beings like fairies. And even some people call dragons elemental because, you know, you can work with earth dragon, water dragon, fire dragon. So which elemental are you referring to, Tiara?
Well, I don't know. You know, I was just thinking of like the elementals tied to the specific elements. So like air, water, fire, earth, like, you know, Avatar, like those kinds of elements is initially where my mind went.
Okay. Yeah. I don't actually talk too much about it, although I do work with them. Working with the elemental basically is just about going through the season of life in that sense. Like there are seasons in your life where you realize you need more grounding. That's when you work with more of the earth element. And then understanding the element, basically just understanding more of the properties and the natures, which again, you might intuitively be doing without labeling it as earth and water.
Yeah.
You know, but like working with earth element, basically, if you connect with Mama Gaia in your meditation every day, you are already working with earth element. And working with water, if you intentionally connect with water when you shower, which I did, then you are connecting with the water element because water is so cleansing. And when you go into your shower and you don't just like physically cleanse, but energetically cleanse by feeling into the energy of the water, you are working with it. And when you burn sage, you are already working with the air and to some degree the space and the fire, you know, because you light up the fire. So it really is pretty simple. And it is more coming back to things that are more fundamental, I guess, when you talk about elemental. And people love to use all the different elements in their spiritual altar if they have one. And things like that. It just gives them something that the mind can understand more and can, so to speak, touch and feel. Mm.
So you mentioned fairies. I have also heard about people interacting with fairies, seeing fairies, talking to fairies or fae. I can't say I've ever had that experience, but that doesn't mean that, you know, that's not a thing that exists. So is that something you do as well?
Yeah, it's something I've connected with before as well and still working with from time to time. Because I was basically in this whole spiritual journey that I think I'm like meeting every single guy. And then that's why I say I get to choose, right? Because at least that's how my journey works. Everyone's journey is different, so there is no comparison or anything like that. But the way it works for me is that I basically connect with everything I could connect with, and they just come to me, and then I work with them a little bit, and then the next one and the next one, and it's like a crash course, if you may. And then, you know, I decided, or rather they decided, which one to work more with in a deeper level. That's why I say the word deeper. Like, I connected with most of them, and some of them I have deeper connection. So fairy is one of them where I connected pretty early on in my journey as part of the angel healing. So part of the angel healing comes with the fairy healing as well for the one I did. And I just love the energy because it's really lighthearted, very playful, very fun. So when life gets a little bit like, too much on the table, too much things to be worrying about, and things like that, fairy is such an amazing energy to work with, to really bring that laughter and joy into our life. And I would say that they probably would be I don't want to say the word should, but like essential, probably to some degree, because laughter and fun and play is always essential, isn't it?
It is. It is. So that's their energy. It's like a very playful, fun, whimsical kind of energy, the fairies and the fae.
Yeah, and the fairy is the one who tells me that laughter is my gift. And when I heard that from the fairy the first time, again, I was very early on in my journey. So I was like, what do you mean my laughter is a gift? Because, you know, when I relate to a gift at the time, it has to be something physical, right? Like it has to be like writing, singing, and speaking, like, you know, something that is traditionally being labeled as a gift. Like, how can laughter be a gift? Because, you know, everyone can laugh. So I didn't understand that. And later on, then I realized more and more when I started to hear feedback from people, and sometimes these are earth angels, right? Like the people speaking, I mean, the angels speaking to people to give us messages. Yeah. And I've heard it so many times that people tell me that they feel they really love my laughter, or like they feel so at ease and my laughter makes them laugh, and whatever comment that they make specifically around my laughter, which is something I don't think about, because like you don't think about when you laugh, you just laugh. However, when I keep hearing that and then I connect the dots, which again, you know, that's the beauty of the journey. You realize it upon looking back. That's when I was like, oh, that's why the fairies say that laughter is a gift. And that's also why right now when I am helping my clients to assess their gift, I tell them to drop everything they know about what a gift is like. Because a gift can be a laughter, it can be love, it can be peace. It doesn't always have to be writing, speaking in that tangible sense, although it can.
Interesting. That's actually so beautiful that you were told that laughter is your gift. And just based on how you described it, I think that that makes total sense. And I would agree that laughter can be a gift, you know, and you're right. We don't think about these other things as gifts because we're always thinking about like the tangible, something you can like, you know, the typical gifts that we typically think of when we think of that term. We did actually a couple podcast episodes on the spiritual gifts. And so I think that's essentially what people think initially, but it does go beyond that. Sometimes you just have to, you know, really see it.
Because those are just the tools. It's not the essence. But writing is a tool to express an essence, right? The essence can be a love or something else.
And I love that you say that because I was just about to say that people just have this essence. Like someone can just walk into the room and light up the entire room. And people, and I do see that as a gift. It's so special that someone can hold that essence and light in them and just completely change the mood of a person or change the mood of a room. And, you know, that's why we have the expression in today's world, like read the room. Because there are just some people that can just light it up. And then there's other people that are just like, yeah, well, you know, maybe you shouldn't be saying what you're saying.
That's why it's called beingness, right? It's about, like, your beingness itself can heal people.
Absolutely.
So at least for those who are listening and are maybe curious about learning how to activate their own light language, do you provide a course or do you have like a program available that people can sign up for?
Yes, I do have an on-demand light language activation course that they can look into. I basically share about how light language can be used as an energy portal, the different ways they can activate the different light language, which is the written, the speaking, as well as the hand light language. And it also comes with a portion as to how they can build their light language business going forward or add it into the existing practice. So it's really holistic in that sense. So they can check out the on-demand course. And I also provide one-on-one mentoring for those who prefer to have a more personal guidance with regards to your journey.
Oh. So is that for spiritual coaching or is that for learning light language or is that kind of a combination of both?
The one-on-one will be focused on activating the light language and the difference with the on-demand course will be definitely in terms of the pacing, and as to what the person needs. So maybe some people, they just want to speak it. They don't care about the other two types of light language. And then that's what we can work on. And of course, it will naturally come with spiritual coaching because when we work one-on-one, then you will, maybe, you know, some people will discover they have blocks around channeling to begin with. So we can then work on clearing those blocks around channeling before we actually channel the light language. Or maybe some people, they are good at channeling in general, but then they are just looking to activate their light language and just needs that little push, if you may, to kind of activate it. So it's more catered to like where you are in the journey versus to like an on-demand course.
Okay, thank you. That actually sounds really, really fascinating. Because this is the first I've ever heard of such a program where you can actually be taught the light language and learn taught how to activate it. And, you know, I think that's so, so cool that you offer that. So thank you for sharing that. I think our audience is going to be intrigued by it.
Yeah, this also comes to me as in I didn't actually create the course in the sense that the course came to me because I actually channeled light language once, and then someone in the audience get activated by my channeling itself.
Wow.
So I thought that was pretty interesting. So from then on, I had a few more cases like that. And then I realized that maybe I'm really good at activating people. So yes. That's how I'm like, okay, I should create a course on that. And that's how I know how their course came in. And it is interesting how, you know, like everything is always shown to us. And then it's up to us to whether we want to respond and give birth to it. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yes, definitely.
I was just thinking about your program and how it just came to you. And I feel like with in today's world, like our listeners, an idea and like it starts with an idea and then it just will manifest quickly if it's meant for you. And I just wanted to point out that process through Elise's story to our audience, how quickly an idea can turn into something and then how quickly it can also manifest. Because I feel like there's a lot of misconceptions and there's a lot of misleading information about how we attract and, you know, how things come to us or how people look at things in a very black or white light of, well, it's either I succeed or I fail. And a lot of people don't really look in that gray area. And I think Elise is, she wasn't seeking this. It's just something that came to her and it manifested. And I just wanted to point out that process to our audience.
What a beautiful insight, Ellie. And yeah, it's really important to pay attention to the synchronicity that comes up and the messages that divine has. And yeah. And I often say, you know, to me, success is love. And love is simple. So don't overcomplicate, overthink, just do it.
Well, love is like the second highest vibration. It's the second highest frequency. The first just so happens to be authenticity, with like love being in second place. And so when we vibrate and we live in an authentic place, when we're also vibrating with love, it's like we are unstoppable. It's like we are master manifestors of our own universe. And that's why it's really important that we do pay attention to our thoughts and how we speak and, you know, what we embody, because that's what the universe responds to.
And I love that you mentioned that, Ellie, because part of being authentic is to be love, because we are made of love, made from love and made for love, you know, like, so we are a manifestation of divine love itself. And it's kind of like if you are authentic, you're naturally incorporating love. And when you walk towards the direction of love, it will bring you to your authenticity. So it's beautiful that you put them together like that.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Elise, so much for joining us on this episode today. This was such a fascinating discussion. And, you know, having listened to you, I feel like I've learned so much. Like, and you clarified a lot of the misunderstandings and misconceptions I had around light language. So it was so good hearing it from an expert, because, again, you know, I've seen so many things online and, you know, it's always hard to get, like, you know, it's hard to get to the truth of some of those things. So, you know, I'm really grateful for you taking the time out of your day to chat with us today. And I think that our audience is going to get a lot out of this episode.
Thank you for having me. Such a pleasure to have a conversation with both of you.
Thank you so much, Elise, for joining us. I have extracted a lot of information, and this is why we love to have guests, and we never know where the conversation's going to go. So thank you for being so open and freeform, and we hope to see you again.
Likewise, see ya.
So thank you everyone for tuning in, and we hope everyone has a great week, and we will catch you next time.
All right. Thank you everyone. Take care.
Don't move.